1320 WILS, thanks for joining us. So a bill being introduced in the legislature that would penalize students here in Michigan who infringe on First Amendment rights of others on college campuses. The sponsor is State Senator Patrick Kolbeck, and he's here with us on 1320 WILS. Senator, great to have you here.
Hey, great to be with you. Thank you for picking this up.
Yeah, what led you to even introduce the bill?
Well, for me, it's been kind of a slow burn. You've been looking at what happens in the campus, in the campuses recently, and you see things like what happened to Ann Coulter and out at Berkeley. But even before that, we had incidents like the MSU professor that was berating students at the beginning of the school year, highlighting essentially that certain worldviews were not welcome in his classroom. And I've personally experienced, kind of what's happened to the shutdown of free speech in our campuses when I was working on the next generation social studies standards. Now, we had a successful outcome of that discussion, but it was clear when I was working with a lot of people from the universities that they had only been exposed to one worldview. And it was about time that we opened up their horizons. And in the process, I learned a lot in my discussions with them as well.
What worldview would you say that is that they're exposed to?
Oh, very much a progressive worldview in our colleges and universities right now. And so there's very little room for conservative expressions in either the coursework or in some of the opinions expressed out on campus. So what we really want to do is, I don't want to give the impression this is only against conservatives, because there's a lot of liberals and progressives that feel like their worldview gets shouted down at times. And the bottom line is, we want to make sure that we have free and expressive college campuses, because that's where everybody's supposed to be learning about what it means to be an American, what it means to be productive in society, what it means to understand who we are as people. So I want to encourage that discussion.
Any university here in Michigan in particular, you think that has a problem with allowing conservative voices?
Well, I know of at least one example recently that I came across. There was a nursing student out at Grand Valley State University handing out pocket constitutions, and she was arrested for handing out a pocket constitution. And so not only did she lose time away from her studies, but now when she applies for a job, she's going to have this little black mark on her record saying that she was arrested. And if you're going to be arrested for something, most people are going to dig into the fact that she was arrested because of delivering a pocket constitution to people. They're just going to see an arrest, and so she's not only going to be hurt with her academics, but she's going to be hurt in her professional life
now,
as well.
What you mentioned, the MSU professor, do you think there's a problem here in East Lansing of students, conservatives, not being able to voice their opinions?
I'd like to say that that's not the case anymore, and when you actually look at the policies that are written at universities like MSU and my alma mater, University of Michigan, everything sounds pretty good on the policies. But it's the selective enforcement that becomes the issue. Just like our Constitution, we're doing selective enforcement of constitutional principles. Yeah. Same thing happens with these policies. And undermining this all is that there is this movement that is trying to convert our freedom of speech to freedom from speech. And our First Amendment was put in place not to protect us from speech that we like. It's there to protect us, protect the free exercise of speech, and that may include some things we don't necessarily like. So the whole concept of these free speech zones and trigger warnings are just you don't have those quote-unquote protections out in the real world.
So when you look at MSU, U of M, is it the administration you think that's the problem, or the students themselves that are causing this environment?
I think it's a blend of both, because I think you start seeing the president of U of M that in the wake of the recent election expressed a certain perspective where he was protecting a certain worldview for all the folks that were did not have their presidential candidate win the election. But I think you're seeing a lot more students coming out of our K-12 system that have been only exposed to one worldview as well. And so when they get into the college campus and they're away from home and the influence of their parents, well, if they've been secluded or secured from listening to some of these other worldviews, they're going to want to continue in that cocoon when they get in the university.
State Senator Patrick Kolbeck with us here, 1320 WILS. You came out of the University of Michigan yourself. How did you develop a conservative outlook there?
I think it's because I was an engineer and I was on North Campus most of the time. And I placed out of most of my humanities courses, which a lot of my detractors will say, oh, I should have figured that.
Uh-huh. So, are you saying North Campus at U of M is more conservative than the general campus there?
Yeah, you know, I think the whole campus as a whole was much more conservative when I was going there, 30-some-odd years ago than they are now. But I think overall, though, we just want to – I recently read the book, 1984, and for your listeners that haven't read that book, I strongly recommend that they do, because I kind of see our modern-day universities and college campuses as – the new ministries of truth, as outlined by George Orwell in it, and they're kind of enforcing a speech or a language that's like newspeak in that book. And
well,
they
want to basically be fully inclusive, right? And they want diversity. They want everyone to feel comfortable on campus. That's the idea there, right?
Yeah, well, that's what they say, but in the process of doing so, they exclude specific words from vocabularies. They exclude certain perspectives from the vocabulary. So I don't know. I mean, it sounds good. That's the way it was presented in the Ministry of Truth in 1984. But when you actually see what impact that has on a free society, it's chilling.
Now, tell me, Patrick, what is the penalty that you're proposing in the bill?
Well, there's a couple different penalties. So first of all, there's Senate Bill 349, which sets the table for somebody to be able to have authority to file suit against somebody for any financial penalties that they may have suffered as a result of their free speech being infringed. Mm-hmm. But there's also provisions that if you're a student that's impeding the free speech rights of another student, on the second time that you've done that, you could be expelled from the university.
And the second time of doing that, and how do you define that? What do you mean impeding someone's ability to speak freely?
That's the trick on all this, is that we're being very careful with the wording, trying to align it as closely as possible with the Supreme Court ruling on First Amendment free speech clarification. So all that's specified in the bill, quite a few different provisions, quite a few different definitions on it.
I should know the Michigan Association of State Universities, they are against your bill. They say it violates the university's governing board's constitutional rights to govern their campuses. What's your response to that?
Yeah, I think those rights stop when they start infringing upon the fundamental free speech right outlined in the First Amendment. And that's where we've got the Supremacy Clause in the U.S. Constitution. Overall, we need to be developing an appreciation for protection of these First Amendment rights.
So you're saying that, I mean, could they challenge you in court but with the bill itself for this violation they're talking about?
They might do so. If they want to go off and justify infringement of First Amendment right to free speech, they can try to make their case in court as to why they should be doing so. But we are, Steve, our public universities, public community colleges, I'm a state legislator. We're responsible for appropriating funds in support of those universities. And that creates a certain responsibility to make sure that those funds are being expended towards the purposes that these universities are formed to. There's got to be a public good.
One last thing. You hear on campuses that talk about hate speech, and they say that is something that's unacceptable, should not be allowed on campus. Is it clear to you how that's defined?
Yeah, we try to be as very clear about that as possible. But you know what? That First Amendment was not put in place to protect us from speech that we like. We don't need a First Amendment for that. And if I wanted to be offended, I could be offended in a job I have right now every other minute. And fundamentally, we have to learn how to respond to cases like that in a way that's respectful, that's mature. And, you know, it'd be nice if we could just sit there and legislate. We should love our neighbor as ourselves. But some other folks have taken on that portion of the First Amendment. I just want to make sure that we actually have an opportunity to protect this fundamental First Amendment right, and it's about time we opened up the discussion so that we could have both sides of the political spectrum engage in respectful dialogue.
State Senator Patrick Kolbeck, Republican from Canton, right here on 1320 WILS. Patrick, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you very much, Mike. Have a blessed day.
You are listening to 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen, and we will be right back.